Today on Seculo, Elon Musk leading a hostile takeover of Twitter. Will he be successful? We've also got Rick Grenell. He just got sanctioned by Iran.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, at our core, the ACLJ is a free speech organization, and we believe more speech is good for the dialogue, is good for debate, and that though while you know we may be conservative and our opinions may reflect that, again, the idea is that to flood the marketplace of ideas, and then ultimately people will make decisions about what organizations they want to support, what candidates they support, what policies they support. But all these new places to have the discussion. We used to talk a lot to ACLJ. We still do. And for real, speech, it's on the sidewalk speech, whether it's a protest or a sidewalk counselor in front of an abortion clinic, that kind of speech that gets treated differently by courts and liberals who say they are so free speech. But, a lot of speech has moved online. And that's just by nature of where we are as a world, not just in the United States. And a lot of that speech, especially quickly, is on places like Twitter and Facebook, and those have been pretty nasty towards the conservative viewpoint. I mean, they kicked off the former president of the United States before taking action on people like the Ayatollah of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Kremlin's accounts. The list goes on and on, and a lot of other bad actors, because they didn't like the opinion of the president of the United States. Well, now, Elon Musk, I've talked about this a lot. I don't know if I've said as much on the show. Maybe I have before. But the right in America looking for its billionaires. And when I say the right, I think it's broader than Republican politics. I think this is more, this gets into libertarians, people who just are against this leftist, woke, cancel culture, censorship, monitor everybody's comments, don't allow the robust debate of ideas. Call people crazy that you don't agree with and then shut them down. Literally, either kick them off temporarily, kick them off full term. So Elon Musk comes in. Remember, he bought about 10% of Twitter. Now he is offered to do one of two things. Buy the company outright. Okay? So he's put forward $43 billion. That's about 54 bucks a share. That's more than those shares are worth right now. So it's almost $10 more, about almost $9 more than each of those shares are worth. Because Twitter is a publicly traded company, their board has to consider this, has to consider the offer, has to consider, because they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. They're not a private company. They are a publicly traded company. So their shareholders, I would imagine this scenario, I don't know how their whole operating setup is set up in their board and how much of their board owns the amount of shares, but it's whether or not they have to go to the larger shareholder base on a vote on this, whether or not the board has the power to consider and deny. That's a little bit more than we're going to get into today, because that's more how they're structured and who's on the board. Because Elon Musk said no to a board seat when he bought 10%. If some of the others on the board are in that same number, the board might have the percent necessary to accept or reject an offer like this, but it's a real legitimate offer. This is not like something just to get news. And what it could potentially do, and I'm not going inside the mind of Elon Musk, but is open up the only real platform that's worked, to be honest with you, when it comes to text, quick news updates, quick discussions. It worked. And it wasn't going the way of Facebook and some of these other social media platforms. And then it did rapidly by removing President Trump and then really starting monitoring free speech. We literally have, I think, to call him a conservative or Republican is a joke now, but Max Boot wrote this: "I am frightened by the impact on society and politics." Such a joke. If Elon Musk acquires Twitter, they love Tesla. They love their electric cars that he created, but SpaceX, great, but not Twitter. He seems to believe that social media, anything goes. You mean freedom of speech? Freedom of speech. He writes, "For democracy to survive, we need more content moderation. We need more of all of us getting flagged on our accounts. Share this with your friends and family." We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Speech is speech is speech, and our Constitution makes us one of the greatest country in the world because it protects our speech constitutionally. Now, where we've gotten into issues when corporations who set up speech platforms then hide behind other laws to not be the same kind of soap, provide the soapbox, not provide the town square. And I want to just underscore the fact that you have people who call themselves Republicans or conservatives on, you know, on places like CNN and MSNBC. And Max Boot is one of those people who just freaked out over Donald Trump, and they're still freaking out today. So now he's freaking out over Elon Musk. And I want to read this to you very carefully, because I always say this: all speech, good speech. And you can say that because criminal conduct is not treated the same, and real criminal conduct is not protected by the First Amendment. So if you're promoting crimes, if you're promoting illegal activity, then it's not freedom of speech you're talking about. You're talking about criminal conduct. And that doesn't have to be treated the same. So their first freak out is a lie. Their second is they don't want people to have opinions that they may not agree with, or that may be in the minority. But even the extreme minority opinion should be allowed in the United States of America. Now, on Twitter, it's about half the country's opinion that isn't allowed, that can be censored at any time, especially if you have any kind of profile there. So I will tell you, as someone who actively used that platform early on, I remember sent out an email from, or one or two from ACLJ announcing that we were going to be on there, that we were going to be active. We were actually very engaged on there. But because so many folks, and I still have a lot of Twitter followers, but I'm honestly not sure how many people are still actually using it regularly, or they're just checking it for news updates, but they no longer want to get into the back and forth on Twitter because it just becomes nasty. And so, because they're okay with that. Liberals trolling anybody conservative, they got no problem with that speech. Just, you know, defaming you left and right, no problem with that. And again, I wouldn't even be complaining if I could just have my conversation there, put my point there, use the word Trump there and not have to worry about the tweet getting taken down, or if we interviewed President Trump, it doesn't get taken down or get our account shut down on Twitter. So you have a disruptor. I have said this time and time again in our meetings at the ACLJ, who is going to be the Soroses of the right and of the United States to correct? Because I don't think you have to be of the right. It's just about all speech, right? And that, but that helps, you know, conservatives, because we are the ones being targeted by big tech, and especially you know, Trump supporters. This new movement that scares so much the old school, which, by the way, needed a shakeup in the Republican Party. So someone who's worked in it, on the staff of the RNC before, on the staff of state political parties, on the staff of campaigns, for up to presidents of the United States, and attorneys for one. You know, I will say it needs to be disrupted. Donald Trump was a disruptor. There's a lot of people in politics right now who were disruptors when they came out. The Peter Thiels of the world, the Elon Musk of the world. We're going to have one of those disruptors on later in the broadcast. He's on our staff and on our team, Rick Grinnell, a disruptor. He goes against everything that the left thinks just has to fall in order. And he's now been sanctioned, by the way, by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I ask you this at 1-800-684-3110. I don't want you to weigh in at 1-800-684-3110. These moves by like an Elon Musk, would you consider maybe going back on Twitter or utilizing the platform more if you knew that your speech was not going to be censored, monitored, and the content all decided what would be flagged or not, or why your account was deactivated or not by some 20-year-old kid in college? Because that's how Facebook does it. They use some outside firm that's a joke, that people that are trying to, they analyze our legal work and then try to make legal assessments. They just did it to Nikki Haley on the same kind of thing out of Colorado with those Colorado laws where they're using that term perinatal. Well, yeah, perinatal means up to a month after birth. So when you use that in abortion legislation, guess what you're okaying? Infanticide. You're preventing child services from going in and you know, a heroin addict who has a child and making sure that child's getting the nourishment they need. Basics shouldn't be a left or right issue. It should be absurd that we're seeing a concerted effort by the abortion industry to use that term across the country. You know, they don't like Elon Musk for saying, you know, we need more kids in the United States of America. And bigger families in the United States of America, because they want population control. They think there's too many people in the world. And I want your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. Have you been censored by Twitter? Have you been censored by Facebook? Or have you just given up on these platforms? I really do want to hear from you on that. I mean, I know a lot of you may not have like deactivated your account. Maybe you still want to see your pictures of your grandkids or post pictures of your kids for your grandparents and family. But, you know, what's happened to you on social media? 1-800-684-3110 is to get you a little excited when you see a disruptor coming through, not on the Soros world, but on kind of our world, at least who understands the issues that have faced people in our world on online and being able to have our voice heard. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, think about this statement. Max Boot. Okay, considers himself to be a conservative, thinks there's been a corrosion of conservatism, but you know, he still claims to be one. He's not anymore, by the way. And again, I can have an opinion on that. He can have his opinion, he can still claim. I mean, but when you write a tweet like this, it's scary. He says, I'm frightened by the impact on society and politics if Elon Musk acquires Twitter. Now, they weren't scared about Elon Musk, you know, his electric cars or SpaceX. They were cool when he was doing that. But the tweet goes on. Much worse than that. He seems to believe that on social media, anything goes. It should, unless it's criminal. It should be a place for the free sharing of ideas. Even the most minority of positions, of opinions, should be able to be shared. Not criminal conduct. No, that's illegal. That's not covered by the First Amendment. But again, the idea that anything goes, to an extent, he's right. If it's not illegal, and if it's covered by the freedom of speech, and it's covered by our constitutional protections or the press, remember, you know, the fact that you couldn't talk about the dossier, you couldn't talk about who was responsible for the dossier, you couldn't talk about the Hunter Biden laptop until they said you could talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. But he says it's even worse, because he says for democracy to survive. Okay, a country based on freedom, liberty, and you choosing who represents you, at both in the, you know, legislature, of course, as president, and your state, and your community. He says, for democracy to survive, We need more content moderation, not less. Folks, we've dealt with those moderators. They are college kids, and they're only going after one side of the aisle in America. People who are conservative, people who are pro-life. We don't need more content moderation. We need more free speech. 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. And I hope he's successful. I have no idea if he will be. I haven't done a full analysis of Twitter's stockholders and who's on the board exactly and how much they own of the stock and how much it's smaller, the shareholders. But I do hope it's successful because I think hoping that he does the right things with the platform. But he sounds like he is because he says it believes it's the potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe. And I believe free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy. So he's got the opposite view of Max Boot. See, Elon Musk believes free speech is the basis for a functioning democracy. Max Boot thinks content moderation is. How sad is that, by the way? How sad is Max Boot? He must be like a really depressed, sad person if like his immediate reaction in life to something he doesn't like is we need more content. We need more content moderation. What a joke. Let's go to your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lori first in New York on line one. Hey, Lori.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Lori, I'm great. I'm excited about this potential.
You know, I was just listening to you, and I think if he doesn't make it with Twitter, he will start his own social media. So that guy is a rock star.
He is. I think we have seen, I will tell you this, I've had an interesting view into this world. I only got about a minute left here, but we'll take more of your calls the next time with broadcast 1-800-684-3110. When the censorship and the deleting started beginning on Twitter, we talked to a number of companies who wanted to start platforms. It's very difficult to do. I mean, Elon Musk certainly has the resource to do it. Truth Social has been an example of that, where the demand was there, but because you're having to work along these hosting servers that are also owned by Jeff Bezos or Google, and then so by some actors that don't like the conservative position, it can be very difficult to get off the ground. If he's able to do what he is looking to do here with Twitter, we know this platform works on a massive scale. And so you don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. And you can provide free speech to the world. Even it's more bigger than just the United States. It provides a place for free speech for people who live in places where they aren't able to go to the town square. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. The most disgusting thing I've seen out of this, the whole news story that Elon Musk has offered and he has to purchase Twitter outright. I've said time and time again on the right, we're a big organization, but you know what we've been facing, even our international offices around the world, is these billionaires on the left. And who are going to be the step-up billionaires to level the playing field a bit? We've seen the Peter Thiels of the world. Hey, we've seen the Donald Trumps of the world. And we've seen now the Elon Musk of the world. And I think that can be, that is a kind of a necessary component to what we're facing, not just in our country, but globally. These all have global implications too. So when I see a tweet, and if this is, you know, I know on Twitter people, all this, the position is my own. It's not the one necessarily of people I work for, but he works for the Washington Post now, which says a lot, and Council on Foreign Relations, but a fellow says a lot there. But again, this is somebody who could consider themselves a conservative, okay? Max Boot. And his reaction to Elon Musk is, oh, he seems to believe that on social media anything goes. If it's speech, it should. And I've already made the distinction for you 100 times. Illegal conduct is not protected by the Constitution as speech. So that's that. There's no debate about anything there. But all other speech, it should be anything goes. It's funny that people say that we're the theocrats, we're the Christian right. And we're the ones saying there should be free speech for everybody. And it's Max Boot who says, for democracy to survive. This is a pretty low bar for democracy survival, by the way. We just need more content moderation. Not a strong military to protect democracies around the world, including ours, the leading democratic republic in the world. No, we need more child content moderators, college kids moderating pro-life content online. Now, Max Boot is probably, I don't know if he's even a pro-life conservative, but if he is, he should probably check what's going on with the content moderation world just on that issue. It's absurd. The fact that you can't talk about the Durham investigation without getting flagged by Facebook, the fact that we can't have a legal analysis and some 20-year-old kid flags us and people like Nikki Haley for our legal analysis, it's a joke. That's not what freedom of speech is about and the free sharing of ideas. So I asked you, you know, would you go back to Twitter? Would you utilize it again? I want to go to the phones, start taking some of those calls. Let's go to Rena in California online too. Hey, Rena.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. Yes, so I was taken off of Twitter. What happened was I put up a hashtag that they didn't agree with and they took me off. And so I decided, since they violated my First Amendment speech, that I wasn't going back. And then because I did a Ukraine project, I said, you know, I'm going to go back on there to help these people. And they, when I went back on, they immediately suspended my account. I was still able to get out. Then they permanently suspended my account because they didn't like what I said, a very noble thing I said about the country. And then I had already created another account. So the Lord allowed me to still keep going out. However, I think what's happening with Musk, in fact, I believe it deeply in my heart, this is God saying to them, I rule. And it's my will that's going to get done. And this is his way of vindicating us. And I believe it's going to be a fantastic thing for the country.
Well, I think more speech is always good for our country, Rena. I think that, you know, more sharing of ideas and letting people say, I don't agree, I do agree, I think you're crazy, I think you're crazy, it's fine. You know, that's America. It's more like where our founding existed. It was a lot of nasty political rhetoric and some partisanship and some right and some wrongs and some I believe this, but it's also ideas. Sometimes it's just ideas. It's sometimes an idea which can be very small. I'm sure the idea when Elon Musk had of creating Tesla, an electric car company, started out, a lot of people think, you know, he's crazy. Then he goes, I'm gonna put people in space. You're crazy. SpaceX. See, his whole narrative, it's such a disaster. You know, Max Boot works for Washington Post. He works for a Jeff Bezos-owned company. Are they all mad there just because Elon Musk became the richest person in the world and Jeff is now at number two? And so they get to monitor. He works for an organization that does content moderation. And he's just mad that there's a richer guy who could take over this platform. And again, I hope he's successful. I have no idea if he will be, but it's exciting. I want to get your thoughts on it, folks. 1-800-684-3110. Keep joining the broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Michelle in Texas on line four. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, sir. How are you?
We're good.
Great. I just wanted to let you know when you called about that I was calling because when I didn't have a Twitter account, but yep. When I heard that he bought that percentage, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. Maybe we will have freedom, because the only online I have right now is Facebook, which I get blocked and monitored and fact-checked constantly. But I thought I'd give it a try. I did. So I sat there, and it takes me a while. I'm a granny. And I got through it all, got signed on, picked all the people that I wanted to hear content from and, you know, what I'm interested in and all that. I got on. By the time I got on and finished my little account, I basically was not even on there 2 hours, and they blocked me for 24 hours, told me if I didn't remove my content that, you know, this and this. And as of right now, I was like, forget it, because I got excited thinking I could go on there and talk free, thinking he had that percent. But, you know, of course, I didn't think logically that he hadn't made a difference yet. But so I'm super excited about him buying it, because free speech is so important, and people that don't wake up and realize that no matter what you think about the other person's speech, except for what you said when it has to do with crime, anything with crime,
right.
If even if you don't agree, you have to remember that their freedom also means my freedom.
So exactly. You know what, Michelle? It's so classic that you get on there, you finally do it, you're there for 2 hours, and they immediately fight. And I hear this all the time, by the way. I mean, it's basically why, if you look at my Twitter account now, you know, occasionally I'll share some news stories, things like that. We'll share a lot about what the ACLJ is doing. Even that will get flagged sometimes. But for the most part, I haven't done a lot of personal engagement on it recently, because I feel like, you know, it's just asking to just get everything banned. And that doesn't necessarily good for the ACLJ not to be able to get its word out there. And so it would be great to go back to a place where you can actually utilize it again in a way that you don't have to be worried about the censors and so nervous about it. Let me go to Valerie in California on line three quickly. Hey, Valerie.
Oh, thank you. So fun talking to you. This is the first time. I was on Twitter. I got off because they... I can't remember if they blocked me, but I know Facebook has a couple of times for my conservative content, which, of course,
they're the worst. I'd say they're the worst.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
They really are. But I saw this, and I was so excited. I got right onto your broadcast to listen, and this is just, I'm like nervous. I'm so excited because it almost feels like one for the team, you know?
That's exactly what I've been saying about it. It's like, there was big organizations in our movement that are doing great things. I think ACLJ is one of those. I've got my own opinion there, and part of it. But you know, the billionaires that can just go in and disrupt and make the kind of offer, not just to buy 10%, that's billions, but then to say I want to buy it all, and it's a really fair price. I mean, they're going to have to go through all their matrices. I'm not going to get into that. We're not going to tell you who stocks and what to buy and what to invest in. But, you know, it does, on paper, it's over $9 of what the shares are trading at now. So, his offer. So, I think that it's just important here that we, and I think that's why everybody's feeling a win, need those disruptors on our sides. And we're a disruptor organization, too. Because I feel like more and more, it's us who has to be the guardians of speech in America. There's no more ACLUs. They're not for real anymore. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, I'm reading from Elon Musk's note to the chairman of Twitter's board. I invested in Twitter as I believed in its potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe, and I believe free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy. However, since making my investment, I now realize the company will neither thrive nor serve this societal imperative, free speech, in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. So that's the second point to the Elon Musk a potential hostile takeover of Twitter, is that he's also saying to take it off, you know, to no longer be a publicly traded company and take it back private. As a result, he's offering to buy 100% of Twitter for $54.20 per share. That's a 54% premium over the day he began investing in Twitter, a 38% premium over the day before his investment was publicly announced. He says it's his best and final offer, and that if he doesn't, if it isn't accepted, he will reconsider his position as a shareholder. So may resell those shares that he bought. Again, I think the bigger idea here is that the response from the left is, where will the content moderators go? Sad. They must be such sad people. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. In the next segment, we're joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, Rick Rennell. He's very active on social media, and he just got sanctioned. I mean, which is, you know, it's a badge of honor to be sanctioned by the Islamic Republic of Iran. But, you know, the fact that these media folks out there think that sanctioning is what Twitter needs more of. That's what social media needs more of. Is sickening to someone like me who thinks that every view should be able to be shared. Some might not be very popular. They might be a minority of minorities. Some might be sometimes what we think is wrong. But unless it's illegal, it should be protected. And it's interesting that it's us on the right, and people claim that we're the theocrat Christian right, you know, and yet we're the ones saying free speech for all. Where is the ACLU these days? They used to defend really radical speech. They even used to join some of our cases. But now they only choose one side of speech. So they'll support defund the police speech and activism, but they're not funding the other side, which is, you know, fund the police or stand with the police. And, you know, I would respect them a lot more if they, again, were saying, you know, all speech. But I think that's our world now, folks. It's our world. And it's that ultimately we're going to help protect that for people we very much disagree with. Because we believe that is, like Elon Musk said, the basis of a functioning democracy. And it's why, you know, the Bill of Rights begins with these freedoms. Not freedom of a kind of speech or a kind of a religion. Or a certain kind of press, but of all the speech, and of all the religions, and of all the press. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Let me go to John in Minnesota online too. Hey, John.
Hey, Jordan. I totally agree with you on this one. I think that it should be a freedom of speech move. I hope Elon Musk can buy this because it can't really be worse. I mean, I quit Twitter, Instagram, Facebook several months ago now. I couldn't be happier. There's many alternatives, and I think having Twitter back would be great. I would, in a minute, join it again if Elon Musk bought the company.
Oh, I think there's a whole lot of people who would either rejoin or get active again, whether or not they actually deactivated their accounts. And, you know, the same thing goes for Facebook is a different kind of company, but you know, when you look at that, you see a lot of accounts there. You know that there's not as many people there. And then the people that are there constantly getting flagged, shut down, put in Facebook jail. You know, the fact that these have become terms. We've needed the disruptors. Our country always needs disruptors. That's why organizations like us exist. We exist to say, we'll take you to court to fight for the rights of speech and religion. The rights that we're given in our founding documents, but that so often want to be trampled on by those in power. So we've got some disruptors on our side now. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can double your impact, and only do it if you're financially able to right now. Double the impact of your donation with our matching challenge month at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Rick Rennell joining us next. He's been sanctioned by the Islamic Republic of Iran.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo, you know, we're talking about the need on kind of our side of the aisle, and really for speech in general, for more disruptors at the, you know, because they've got their billionaires on one side of the aisle, and it's starting to line up. We've got some of ours too. You've got the Musk, the Thiels of the world, the Donald Trumps of the world, who are willing to put themselves through being, you know, the political process, and even like the situation with Twitter. There's also folks like Rick Rennell, who we're proud to have on our team, who's our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. And Rick, when I saw this, you know, it's just kind of unbelievable, the total narrative. But I've been telling people throughout that we were going to talk about that you've been sanctioned by the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'd wear it as a badge of honor. But it also, just the fact that, tell people why. And it was interesting that there were no liberals sanctioned by the Islamic Republic of Iran this time.
Yeah, the Secretary of State of the United States is not sanctioned by Iran. What does that mean? It means that the Iranian regime is afraid of certain messages and certain people. I have, as somebody who is incredibly pro-life, I have always tried to push forward human rights issues. And one issue that I care very deeply about is how 69 countries around the world criminalize homosexuality and want to put you in prison for being gay, and 9 countries will kill you for being gay. And Iran is one of those countries that absolutely does this. They abuse women, they abuse the entire population, but they will kill someone for being gay. And I have pushed back on this, and we have a website called Outspoken. And it's in Farsi, the language of Iran, and it's also in Arabic. And we do great work here. Well, that's clearly a threat to the regime in Iran. And so they added me as a denier of human rights, or as somebody who's abusing human rights, whatever their words are. We know exactly what they mean. They don't want anyone to defend everyone's right, God-given right, to exist and to make choices in their life and to be free. And so I'm proud of this designation. And, you know, the fact is it's not going to affect me at all. I'm not doing business in Tehran. I live in Los Angeles, which they call Tehrangelis, because we have so many Iranian Americans that live here. And so this is a, I think, point of pride for the Iranian community in the United States, when you stand up to the regime to push human rights and then get sanctioned for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a country we have a lot of knowledge with, because we've done so much work. I've been in Gulf states that have relationships with Iran on behalf of Christians who are imprisoned and facing death also because their Christian faith in Iran. I mean, it's like the list, they have a list, and kind of like what you said, Rick, of things that you could be imprisoned for and then things they'll actually execute you for. And being a Christian is one of those. Being gay is one of those. You know, speaking out against the regime, being any kind of opposition leader is one of those. I mean, but it's also to me interesting that they decide what group to pick, and they don't pick on some of the even bigger actors on the world stage when it comes to gay rights.
Well, look, my Grandpa Grinnell used to always tell me that you take the most incoming fire when you're over the target. And I think people need to realize that. It's one of the reasons why Donald Trump, I think, takes a lot of incoming fire. It's why Jay Sekulow takes a lot of incoming fire. When you're over the target, your enemies realize, uh-oh, they're going to do some damage. And I take this as a badge of courage, as a badge of honor, that the Iranian regime is targeting me and not the Human Rights Campaign, or not GLAAD, or not the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. We fight for pro-life issues. We fight for religious liberties. I personally am constantly thinking about human rights. And I think that human rights need to be a part of our negotiations and relationship with any country. And so the idea that we're trying to do a nuclear deal with Iran, while they're pushing gay people off the building or crucifying Christians or denying women basic rights, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's one of the imperatives why we need to be so less dependent on China is the genocide there of Muslims. And people will look to us, you know, we're always speaking out about that. And again, we don't hear it much in the corporate world. We don't hear it much in the left. Who've got those relationships, and so it's us. It's you know, it's a Christian founded group calling out the Muslim genocide. The same people who they were calling Islamophobic, who still will call us Islamophobic, who will call that out. I do want to get to also, Rick, the shakeup in the social media world happening at this moment right now. You're very active on social media. You got a lot of friends in that world too. And when you see a move by this by Elon Musk, there is palpable excitement in our listeners and those watching our broadcast right now and our supporters, and just the news that he's making an attempt at buying Twitter. What's your reaction?
I mean, look, we've got some people who just want to play fair. I think we've trained kids for 20 years to run out of the room when they hear a different viewpoint. Our college campuses and universities are completely biased and one-sided. And our social media platforms are the same way. They're censoring ACLJ. They're censoring me. They're censoring you. They don't like arguments to be made that show their hypocrisy. And this is one of the reasons why they kicked off Donald Trump, because he was making progress in going directly to the people with conservative arguments. And so they need to control the debate. It's why editors, you know, at newspapers used to control the whole debate. And now social media means we don't need the reporter and the editor anymore. We go straight to the people. Well, now they're biting back and they're trying to control that. Thank God for people like Elon Musk. I think that more individuals need to step up and push to make big tech corporations, universities, just play fair. We're not asking them to be conservative.
Nope.
We're asking them to just not be making progressive arguments and limiting the conservative arguments.
Yeah, it's allowing real free speech, which does not mean illegal activity. And that's always been the clear kinds. The minority opinions, the majority opinions, and the out there opinions, it's all fine. Let them all be out there. And then, but then I see this tweet from Max Boot, the opposite approach. Claims to still be a conservative, or at least play one on TV. And then, you know, he's literal. And I feel kind of sad for these people, Rick, because this is their immediate response. He works for Jeff Bezos at the, you know, because he works for the Washington Post, but he writes for democracy to survive. For democracy to survive, we need more content moderation, not less. And to me, that is just the most absurd statement, but also a very sad statement. If this is where so much of the media elite is coming from now.
It doesn't make sense. He's totally blinded that somehow we need to limit the conversation in order to have greater freedoms. And I think history shows that Max Boot has come so close to power and he wants to be accepted and celebrated by the cool kids, the popular kids, the ones with power, that he's willing to say anything. And that means limiting the people's power in order to pretend like you're helping the situation. Let me be very clear. We should not be afraid of conversations about content, about anything. I don't care what it is. If you believe that you have the right way, then you should be able to talk about all of these issues, and it's only going to strengthen your arguments.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that what's been unfortunate in the social media world is that, Rick, there's folks like you who take, I mean, you see the incoming. It's nasty. And so a lot of folks who, this might not be their day-to-day kind of job as in politics or in government, and so they've just walked away from it. And whether they've deactivated accounts or they're just not there. And what I've heard from today so far on the show is so many people say, you know, I want to be back. I want to be a part of the discussion. I did enjoy it. But what you're seeing from the left is basically, oh my God, these people might show up again.
Listen, what our audience needs to realize is that the tactic of the left is just to say that you're a racist, sexist, or homophobe, or now the new one, a Russian agent. Yeah. And if you can just get comfortable that you are going to be one or two of those, and that's just the typical argument, don't be silenced. Don't back down.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, folks, we're going to take your calls on this too, the next segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. This move by Elon Musk, is it more likely that you would be back on social media, that you'd use it again? 1-800-684-3110. Because, Rick, a final question, but we've seen through the platform President Trump's been behind, we've talked to lots of people who, when he got first banned and they would start banning other people, it is very difficult to get these platforms off the ground. If someone like Elon Musk can go in and spend the money that he's got to buy one like it, it can shake things up quite substantially.
Yeah, look, it's definitely capital intensive. We need people with money and power to step up and do it. Look, we're half the country, right?
Right.
We have to start acting like it. We can't be canceled. When people try to cancel you, you have the power to cancel them, but don't. And what we can say is that we are half the country, and we're here, and we're not going away.
As Rick, always appreciate it. And again, the fact that folks, Pratt, you know, you've got work with Rick. He's now got sanctions by Iran. Mike Pompeo, they're trying to kill him, as he said on this broadcast. Be part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. I think that, you know, again, you can wear it as a badge of honor, too, as a supporter of the ACLJ. If you support our work, this is a great time to donate. If you can, donate at ACLJ.org. Double your impact with our matching challenge. That's ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
secular. We are taking your phone calls too on the social media, 1-800-684-3110. But there's something else, and I know you all care about at the border. You know, the Title 42 has been discussed a lot, but and we've seen a number of Democrats come out, especially those who are represent border states, Kristen Sinema, Kelly in Arizona. We've also seen Joe Manchin. We've seen others, and now a candidate for governor in Texas, a former presidential candidate, former mayor Beto O'Rourke. Okay, so this is not someone who is on, you know, is even close to the middle of the Democrat Party, right? I mean, he plays himself up as pretty far left. He is now coming after the Biden administration for ending Title 42 with the exact same point we've all made. Is that this is what he said. This is Beto O'Rourke. I want to make it clear again. This is who I'm quoting right now. It does not make sense to end this Title 42 until there is a real plan and the capacity in place to handle those and address those that come over. I've yet to hear a plan from the Biden administration to address the dynamic we will have on the border once Title 42 ends. They're making you keep your mask on in airplanes, Wes, but they are about to release stop a program which has empowered our Border Patrol agents to at least push back on some of the illegal immigration.
Yeah, ostensibly for health reasons, which apparently, you know, like a lot of things with this administration, is pretty hypocritical. You know, when you're President Joe Biden and you lose the support, you're being criticized by Beto O'Rourke, you're in real trouble. President Biden's popularity has dropped down his approval rating to 33%. He's being criticized by a man who keeps losing one bid for public office after another. He wanted to be the mayor. They didn't want him to be the mayor down there. He ran for the Senate to try to unseat Ted Cruz, lost that. He ran for president. Now he's running for governor of Texas. It's like Beto O'Rourke is jumping up and down all the time saying, pick me, pick me. And the people of Texas are simply not buying it. But he is trying to have it both ways on Title 42, because up until last Tuesday, Beto O'Rourke was for canceling Title 42. And so when he found out that that wasn't playing well, because he is running for governor, and that the Border Patrol and the people of Texas were upset about that because they're predicting that that will mean 18,000 people a day illegally crossing the border. When all that came about, he is now against suspending Title 42 with the criticism that there is no other plan in place, implying that if there's a plan in place, he's still for getting rid of Title 42. So basically what this is, Jordan, is hollow criticism on Title 42 that for Beto O'Rourke is born out of political expediency. I don't think it's genuine.
Yeah, I mean, Senator Sinema, a Democrat from Arizona, you know, she said the extension of the mask mandate on planes and public transit means that Title 42 should remain. She said the quote, the administration's extension of public health emergency authorities. So they're extending that this is an emergency, so they have this kind of superpower, proves the need to delay lifting Title 42 to protect the health and safety of Arizona communities and migrants. And she's talking about the migrants, too. We talk a lot about that issue, Wes. We've talked about a lot this week. Mm-hmm. It's not all about just protecting our border, where that it should be the top concern for our leaders, but also the human rights concerns of the migrants coming across and their safety and security, the trafficking we've talked about this week. We've also talked about the drugs. But then I want to tie this to a Quinnipiac poll. They've now shown Biden at their lowest point, 33%. I mean, you cannot get much lower in a country with two major political systems where there's a base of support for a Democrat. That's basically where you're at. I mean, the base for each party is somewhere around the 30s, mm-hmm. and that's what he's left with.
Yeah, think about the implications of that two-thirds of the American people don't approve of the job he's doing. And this is not due to circumstances beyond the president's control. Sometimes things happen in a presidency, and they can't help it, and they may deal with it poorly, but they didn't cause it. In Joe Biden's case, most everything that is dragging him down politically, he created it, starting on his first day in office when he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline. And he continues to create the crises that are dragging him down politically and making him an ineffective president, the border being the largest and most obvious one because of the things you mentioned, Jordan, that this is a national security issue. It's a moral issue with the human trafficking and the sex trafficking, and on it goes. And yet this administration literally is ignoring what's going on in the southern border.
I wanted to just, since we finished out the broadcast today, because I want to give people, when there's necessary, updates on what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. We've seen a new a voice reemerge out of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, who was temporarily president there when they were making constitutional changes to allow Putin to rerun for office and then extend the terms that a president can serve there, so it can be basically indefinite. And so he was the president, and then now back to then he was prime minister before that, but very close to Putin. He's the deputy chair today of Russia's Security Council, making a nuclear threat. A new kind of nuclear threat, this time not about nuclear weapon use in Ukraine, but to Western Europe.
Yeah, Finland and Switzerland, I mean Sweden, excuse me, they want to join NATO. And so because of that, because of their desire, they're planning, actually they had a joint news conference and they're going to apply. Of course, NATO would still have to approve it. But because of that, he has said, well, that will mean that the denuclearization of the Baltics is no longer on the table, that they're going to feel free to bring in nuclear weapons to that region. Here's the thing about this. Russia, you know, is in deep trouble. And their card that they played in Ukraine was, well, we're going to invade. And part of the reason was we don't want Ukraine to be a part of NATO. By that invasion and all the atrocities there, what is happening is that more and more countries want to be a part of NATO. So that because of that, you know, these two countries now want to join NATO as well. And for them, Jordan, it's a strategic time to do it. Because right now, if under normal circumstances, if they wanted to join NATO, especially Finland, you can see Russia invading Finland the same way they did Ukraine. But they're bogged down in Ukraine. And so if they're ever going to do it and have a safety net, these two countries to be a part of NATO, now's the time when Russia really, you know, realistically cannot attack them. His idea, though, one other quick thing about that the Baltics will no longer be nuclear weapons free, is such a joke.
Yeah.
Russia has nuclear missiles that can reach Stockholm in 3.5 minutes. And that we know for a fact that Russia has been violating the treaty on short-range and medium-range nuclear missiles all over, you know, facing towards Eastern Europe. So for him to say, well, you know, now all options are off the table, we'll bring in nuclear weapons, you know, Russia already possesses that capability in this region. This is another attempt at Russia trying to bully Europe.
It has been somewhat effective for Russia because it has kept, especially in the Ukraine conflict, it has kept major world powers out of it. Yes. Because whether their ground game works is struggling, which it is, and they're committing these atrocities, which they are, they also have this ability to destroy the world.
Yeah. And one other thing that some media outlets just reported while you were on the air today, which I have not fully read all the reports, I've read a couple of them, Russia is also now saying that since the U.S. is supplying weapons to Ukraine, that those supply lines are now legitimate targets for Russian military. And that is a new development and one that's rather alarming.
And right. And where does that supply line begin? Does it begin here? Does it begin in a European base that we have? Does it appear in Germany at a large base there? Poland? I mean, you know, that's a broad term as well. You could imagine that you're talking about, like, you know, right around the borders. But you could also expand that term out because the supply starts somewhere. And a lot of those mean at a U.S. military base or even right here in the United States of America. Thanks, Wes. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation if you're able to right now. It's a great time to donate at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.